Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. We are located at the corner of Highway 2449 and Highway 156 in Ponder, Texas. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church, contact us at www.fbcponder.org. And now, today's message.
Talking on these Sunday mornings about how to be holy, healthy in every facet of our life. Today we're going to talk about physical health. You know, physical fitness is a major topic in American life today. Never, I guess, in the history of our country has it ever been so emphasized, has it ever had so many people calling out for us to be more physically healthy. And I guess never before have Americans been listening like they are today. You know, 58 million people in America have gym memberships. Did you know 67% of them never use them? A lot of wasted money down the drain. Those things are not cheap. They say the average cost per person for a membership in a gym is $58. Health clubs, that's a great business, and they're raking in $21.8 billion a year in revenues. Some are making even more than that because among some gym users, 13.5% use personal trainers. That costs you even more per session when you get into it that much. On top of all that we spend for all of that, did you know we spend in America $30 billion a year on athletic apparel? We may not always work out, but we look good. We look like we've been to workout or about to go to workout. Because of that emphasis in our culture, I want us to talk this morning about what place should our physical health, our physical fitness, have in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. How high a priority should that be in our lives who claim Christ as Lord? Should we devote time? How much of our effort and attention should be focused in that direction? Well, to find that answer, we of course want to look in the Word of God. And from the Word of God, see that indeed your physical health should be of concern to you. It is worthy of your attention, and I want to show you today why. And it might not be exactly the reason you might have said why coming into today. I want us to use two texts out of the book of 1 Corinthians, the first in chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so these are God's words, not Paul's, says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And then a few chapters later in chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27, Paul uses an athletic metaphor. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run the race that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." You should give attention to your physical condition because, number one, your physical health relates to your spirituality. Your physical health relates to your spirituality. There always are among believers those who think you can, who think perhaps you even should separate out the physical from the spiritual. Like you could somehow pull yourself apart into different strands of your being, and the physical and the spiritual should be separated. Some people make that emphasis because They would argue fundamentally we are spiritual beings, and that is certainly true. And therefore, because we are fundamentally spiritual beings, that should be your total focus. And the physical can be somewhat disregarded. Sometimes, some even go so far as to argue it because they want to live a hedonistic life focused on pleasure. They would say, well, the body is going to go away anyway. Someday it's going to be destroyed. And what matters is our soul, our spirit, the spiritual part of us. And since the body will ultimately be done away with anyway, why worry about it here? In fact, do whatever you want to with it. That's a heresy that has been around since New Testament times. But the biblical truth is you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual. They are intertwined. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 that we just read. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? I would ask you this morning, how in the world do you separate the physical from the spiritual? When you understand that it is your physical body where he who is the source of your spiritual life dwells. It's where he lives, where the Holy Spirit lives. Not only that, but the scripture is clear that our salvation has a physical component to it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul prayed a prayer for the people in the church at Thessalonica. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Sanctify, that's the process by which God sets us apart to himself bit by bit. It began the day you gave your life to Christ. It happens all through this life. It'll be finally completed on the day when Christ comes again, and that's the sanctification process. May God sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, thirdly, God intends that our bodies, that your body be employed for spiritual purposes. That's why you can't separate it out. He says in our text in verse 20, honor God with your bodies. In a similar vein, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I mean, you can't get much more mundane physical than that. What you eat and what you drink even comes into play in bringing honor to God in your life. Or you want to get even more basic than that, in Mark chapter 12, you have where the guys, the religious leaders came to Jesus. They said, what's the most important commandments? And you remember what he said the most important commandment is? It's Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God. Would you say it with me? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and what? And with all your strength. He means by that word physical. You love God with your physical strength. Now, because God is living in your body, as we've already seen, and because he's sanctifying your body, as we've seen from the scripture, and because he wants to employ your body in bringing himself honor and glory, you understand then that God is concerned about your physical body. Not just your soul, not just your spirit, but every part of you. In fact, there's a wonderful prayer in 3 John and verse 2 where John is expressing his prayer for the friend to whom he writes the letter. He says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. He means their physical health. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Yes, even as long, spiritually that's real important, but I pray the rest of you, including your physical body, is doing just as well as your soul is doing. God is as interested in your physical body as he is in the spiritual body. John Piper says it like this, I want to make sure that I don't mislead anybody. That Christianity is just a set of ideas or just a way of thinking or just a way of getting the soul to heaven when in fact it has everything to do with your body as well as your soul. It has to do with everything your body has to do with, food and sex and sleep and talking and smiling and frowning and laughing and playing and working. So you can see that in all of this, that your physical well-being impacts your spiritual well-being. And so God is concerned with it, and so must I be, and so must you be. Secondly, I want you to see from this text, your physical health not only relates to your spirituality, but it also reflects your stewardship. It reflects your stewardship. Now, that word is one of the major concepts we talk about in the Christian life, isn't it? Talk about stewardship from day one. It's one of the basics. And the idea of stewardship, basically, is that when you're a steward of something, when you're entrusted with something, you're to care for something, you assume some responsibility for something that belongs to somebody else. It's not yours, but you're responsible for caring for it, stewarding it, if you will. And typically, I know in church, when we talk about stewardship, we're usually thinking about what? Money. Right? Money. We usually think about money. I think that's when we talk about tithing and all that. And the idea behind it is we know the Word of God says, everything, all our stuff belongs to God, doesn't it? All the silver and gold, Bible says, all those belong to Him, cattle on thousand hills. Everything material belongs to Him. It's all His. All your money is His. Your house is His. All your material possessions, it's all His. He just lets us use it. And He holds us accountable for how we use it. We're responsible for being caretakers of the material riches that God entrusts to us while we're on this earth. Now, it's clear, then, from this text, that's what's true of your stuff is also true of your body. Because look again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. He says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So it's really clear that your body doesn't belong to you. Isn't that interesting? It's in our society, that's a big deal today, isn't it? Your body is your body. That's not what God's word. If you're a believer, your body belongs to God. He bought it. He bought you. And the price He paid was the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, we're reminded of that solemn truth. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It was the blood of Christ by which we were redeemed, purchased, bought back, if you will. Because of our sin against God, we're separated from Him and bound to spend eternity in hell. But we know Jesus Christ died on the cross, and with His blood, He purchased our salvation, having paid the penalty Himself on that cross, so that you and I, if we would but trust in Christ, could have forgiveness of our sin and could have a relationship then with Him now and into eternity. Christ bought you with His blood. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit that we just talked about from 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit that's living in you, the Scripture says that's His mark of ownership on you. In the same way that we might purchase something, especially stuff we send off with our kids to school or to camp, we write our names on stuff, don't we? Sometimes we have things, important things, computers, TV, we have them engraved sometimes so everybody will know that belongs to us. God has put His stamp on you, His seal of ownership. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, and when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised long ago. So when you invited Christ into your heart, God sent His Holy Spirit, as we've already seen, to live inside of you. That's His mark of ownership. That's His declaration. You belong to Me. And since God owns your body, He gets to dictate what you do with it. He gets to dictate how you use it. Now, broadly speaking, we've already seen from the Scripture that we're to use it to honor Him. Honor God, therefore, it says, with your bodies. Or as we saw in 1 Corinthians 10, whether you're eating or drinking, whatever you do, glorify God. Broadly speaking, that's what God intends. Now, there's a wide range of things that means for how we live our lives. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, you can read a long passage there where he really is talking about how we use our bodies to live holy lives. It certainly would include things like living a moral life, being free, obviously, of using our bodies for sexual immorality, refusing to engage our tongues, a very physical part of our body, a piece of flesh inside of us, to refusing to use it to engage in gossip or slander or other kinds of malicious talk. That we would avoid using our bodies. In Ephesians 4 it says to avoid things. We wouldn't want to use our bodies to steal or to brawl and fight with other people or to kill someone, of course, those kinds of things. But I want you to see that it's far broader than that. It's not just things we don't do with our bodies and honor God, though those are important. But honoring God with our bodies also involves our using them in positive ways, primarily to carry out His purposes, to serve in His name, to minister in His behalf, to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we cannot do that apart from our physical bodies. Look with me again in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and read that verse again and think through the implication of this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you received from God? Now, if my body is a place where the Holy Spirit lives, then that means that my body becomes a means by which God carries out His purposes. My body becomes an instrument in His hands by which He carries out the will of God. That, think about it this way. When Jesus walked this earth, He came how? In a body, human flesh. And when Jesus walked this earth in His human body, that's how He carried out God's purpose. He used His legs to walk and His tongue to talk and His hands to heal and to break bread and make it multiply. Think about it. Everything Jesus did was in the body. Now, the Bible says the human bodies that He has to carry out those same purposes, legs to carry, to share the gospel, hands to serve somebody, to warmly hug someone and console them and encourage them, a tongue to speak the words of encouragement. The bodies that He has now to use on this earth are ours. The only instruments that he has. We talk all the time, I think, corporately about the concept that the body of Christ is the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you find these very similar phrases. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But he's talking plural there. You all together form a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we as a corporate body are the body of Christ. But it's also true individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 makes that very clear. It is your body and mine by which God carries out His purposes in this earth. That's His will. Now, that means that we have to be stewards of our bodies. We don't get to do with them what we want to. We must dedicate them to doing what God would have us to do. And that means we've got to take care of them in the best possible manner so that they'll be in the best possible condition for carrying out the will of God. Listen to me very carefully this morning. A believer's motivation for being healthy physically, for being physically fit, is not the same motivation as other people in our world. I heard about a man named Fred. He and his wife went bowling. And while he was waiting for his turn to bowl, he kind of turned to his wife and he said, "You know, honey, I've got to lose some weight." Well, she was so excited about that because she'd been really after him about that, with a real sense of relief and kind of surprise at the same time. She said, "So you're finally going to take the doctor's warning seriously?" And he said, "Oh, no, it's because my fingers are getting too fat for my bowling ball." And so people have all kinds of motivations for getting fit. You know, often in our world, think about it, often in our world, the goal is to look good. right? I mean, that's kind of what it's all about. You want to lose weight or firm it up so you look good. Look good to other people, but also when you look in the mirror, you want to look good to yourself. Sometimes it's even about self-esteem. I want to get in better shape so I'll feel better about myself. For some, it's about being able to outperform other people or to be able to accomplish some athletic goal. But let me tell you, for the believer in Jesus Christ, it's none of those things. It shouldn't be. Your goal for being physically healthy is so that you can be more useful to God. That's your purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which are prepared in advance for us to do." God's got these works out there for you to do. You want to be able to do them. You want to be able to engage in those good works that God has planned. And you can't do that if you lack strength or if you lack energy, if you lack well-being. You want to be useful to God, and you want to be useful to God longer. You don't want to cut short the years that God intends for you to live. Now, we can. You can cut short the time God planned for you to live. But you don't want to do that as a follower of Christ. You want to engage in every act of works and ministry and carrying forth the kingdom of God that God had planned for you to do for as long as He planned for you to do it. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 92, 14. I guess in the next few years, it'll probably mean even more and more to me. He's describing in Psalm 92 righteous people, those who are righteous. And he says about the righteous, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. It's a picture of vitality and strength and life. And so I want to seek to be healthy. You want to seek to be healthy so that you'll have more vitality and more life to still in old age be bearing fruit to the glory and the honor of God. By the way, that verse also says there's no retiring from the work of God. We hear Christians say, "Well, I worked in the nursery 50 years. I don't have to do that anymore." Who said? "I taught Sunday school 60 years in children's. That's time for me to rest." God may lead you to a different ministry, but He doesn't lead you to rest. You'll still be bearing fruit in old age with the vitality and strength if the Lord is indeed the Lord of your life and you're seeking to glorify and honor Him. Now, thirdly, I want you to see from this scripture your physical health. It relates to your spirituality. You can't separate the two. And it reflects your stewardship of what belongs to God. And finally, your physical health requires self-control. Self-control. A recent medical research project examined 231,048 adults across America, ages 45 and up. It picked out these people. I wouldn't want to be one of these people, but they picked out people, and they followed them around for 6 years, kind of monitored their physical fitness and the health, see how long they lived and that kind of thing. And they determined from that research project recently that six factors determined how long people live, are the biggest factors in how long people live. The six things were, and you could probably guess some of them. We won't take the time to play that game. But smoking is one, as you might expect. Alcohol use would be one. Dietary behavior, what you eat, was third. Inactivity, physical inactivity, sedentary behavior, and sleep. How much you sleep. Those six things. And the lower score you had in those, what they called those were at-risk behaviors. The lower your score in those, the longer a person tended to live. Now, the good news about that is, as for a follower of Christ, is that means, oh, good, I'm alive longer to bear fruit to God's glory. I'm alive longer to expand His kingdom. I'm alive longer to carry out His works, to honor God with my body. So I need to be concerned about those six things. And all of them are a matter of self-control. It's exactly what the Bible calls for in this text that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 24 to 27. Would you look there again with me? Where Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body. He means that literally. He's not talking metaphorically here. He means literally, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So simply put, he argues that athletes practice self-control. They control what they eat and how they sleep and they work out. It's all monitored around. They discipline themselves, what? All around some earthly, temporal goal. Next Sunday, they'll play the Super Bowl, and you'll hear them all say, well, this is what we've been working for all year. Since the season was over last year, they've been rehabbing and getting surgeries done and working out and eating and sleeping over all the weeks. So what? So that next Sunday, for what? Can you tell me who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3 years? Unless it was your team, you probably can't. They're going to win a trophy, and they all don't even get one. Now they get some money. That'll be gone pretty soon. You see, it's temporal. It's earthly, but yet they've exerted all this effort in order to win this prize that'll be so fleeting. And Paul says, in light of the purpose for which we are living our lives, can't we surely practice self-control just as they would? Can't we're giving ourselves to something that we will carry with us into eternity, that is heavenly instead of earthly. Surely we could discipline ourselves and exercise self-control in the same way and do so not for our glory, but so that we have a greater vitality and longer years to bring glory to God. We're striving for that eternal and heavenly prize. And so we, too, are called by God to practice self-control. And in light of that project, but also the Word of God, I would like to suggest to you self-control in three areas. One is kind of a broad, kind of lump bunch of things together, but I'm going to call it self-control in terms of our appetites. Now, appetite's bigger than food, but it certainly includes food, doesn't it? Include food and drink and substances. And some of these things we control in our life by avoiding completely, and others by in terms of moderation. You know, when I was younger, first coming up into church, I didn't grow up in church, but late in my teenage years and in college, when I really got involved, we treated smoking like it was some awful sin. You know, if you smoked, the guys hid out in the alley behind. They came to church, but they hid in the alley behind, and we sort of treat it like it was some sinful thing, and I have never found one verse in the Bible that talks about it. But it's not a good thing to do. Why? Because it hurts our body. That's very clear. The same thing would be true about other drugs. The Bible does speak about alcohol. It says to be moderate. Have self-control. There is no drunkenness. Don't get drunk on wine, God's word clearly says. For some, total abstention would be self-control and better discipline for you based on who you are, maybe your family background. But we're all called to be self-controlled in what we put in our bodies in terms of what we drink. And of course, food is the first thing we think about. And again, the key is self-control, moderation. The Bible says to avoid both extremes. What are the two extremes? Well, one is gluttony. You notice Baptist preachers never preach on gluttony. It'd be so, you just offend too many people. And harm too much fellowship time in the church, right? We never talk about it, but the Bible talks about it in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. He said, when you sit to dine with a ruler, note what's before you and put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony. I mean, he said, get serious about this. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. You know, the problem is the purpose of food is to meet our nutritional needs, not our wants. To heal our bodies, to restore our bodies, to replenish our bodies. Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, because God's word is very clear. You know, some people sometimes view this idea of self-control about how much we eat and what we eat has to do with it's got to be austere, and if we enjoy it, we joke all the time, you know, if it tastes good, spit it out because you're not supposed to be eating it. No, God's word says we're supposed to enjoy what we eat. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, the Word of God says, there is nothing better for a person than he should eat, drink, and find enjoyment in his toil? This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? I could have picked out two or three other verses that say the same thing. Enjoy what God has given us. God, I think God designed a world that's wonderful. And God designed food that tastes good. It looks good. And he wants you to enjoy it. But our problem is we have trouble exercising self-control so as not to enjoy too much of a good thing, which obviously we all know impacts our body negatively. The key, I think, is moderation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, just a few verses earlier than one of our texts, Paul said, I have the right to do anything, you say. He's quoting other people in the church and what they're arguing with him about. But not everything is beneficial, God says. I have the right to do anything, some people might say. But I will not be mastered by anything. That was God's word to us. I will not be mastered by anything. I'm going to be able to exercise self-control, be disciplined, and I can say no. Now, I want you to note this as well, because I think this is really important, and that is, you don't go to the other extreme either. You know, the other extreme from gluttony is what's called theologically asceticism. And ascetics are those who starve the body, those who beat their body. You know, it's kind of like the body's got to be kept under tight control, and they're brutal with it in terms of dieting and exercising and in some cases even beating themselves and that kind of thing. I would put it in the context today of starving yourselves. Listen to me carefully. The point of all this is not to be skinny. That's what our world says, right? Moderate what you eat, watch what you eat, work out. Got to be skinny. That's not what God's word calls you for. The goal is to be healthy. Those aren't the same things. Those aren't the same things. Our goal is to be fit for God to use. Self-control, moderation in our appetites. Also in exercise. In late March, this blows my mind. That's what I wanted to share with you. I don't know how well it relates, but it blows my mind. I think it does relate. In late March 2011, ABC News did this news report about a small group of women who had begun Christian pole dancing classes. They're pole dancing to Matt Redman, who we sang his song this morning. We're here for you. That's Matt Redman. They're pole dancing to songs like that. And they interviewed the instructor, Crystal Dean, and she said this. She said, God gives us these bodies, and they're supposed to be our temples, and we're supposed to take care of them, and that's what we're doing. They were exercising. Now, first of all, they're not our temples, right? They're the temples of the Holy Spirit, and there's just some incongruity in my mind between the place where the Holy Spirit dwells and pole dancing. I don't know why that is, but there's just an incongruity there. But the idea of exercising the temple of the Holy Spirit is a good one. Perhaps just not that expression of it. Now, admittedly, there's not much in the Word of God about exercise. Some of you may appeal to that. There's a lot of athletic metaphors that are in there in the Word of God. And I wonder, well, why is that? Well, one reason why, and this was true in America in the early day, people didn't have to artificially work out in those days to stay healthy, right? And that's been true in other parts of our country up till nowadays when everybody worked on the farm as an agrarian society and everybody worked with their muscles and worked out all day long and all that. Now a lot of us sit behind desks or behind computers and there's not a lot of physical labor. But in those day and time, there's a lot of activity and work and chores. Maybe that's why there's not so much in there. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says, for physical training is of some value. Now, in that verse, he argues that it's not as valuable as godly training. You know, if you're weighing it out and you think, there are people I know who've kind of made a god out of being physically fit. That's kind of their goal. I want to be fit. I want to look better than everybody else and be stronger, faster, quicker. I want to be skinnier than everybody else, and that's kind of become their goal. If that's your all-consuming goal, something's wrong with your priorities. You want to be like Jesus. And your goal, the working out godly, he speaks about godly discipline as being of greater value. And that's true. But he does say, notice,
Physical training is of some value. We know it contributes to overall health, which in turn better equips the body again for God's service. I want to keep coming back to that motivation. Why exercise? So I'll be skinnier? No, so you'll be healthier, so you can serve God and bring glory to God better. The other area is the area of rest. Rest. We live in a society that applauds constant work and activity, don't they? Let me ask. Whenever somebody asks you, what are you doing? And your answer honestly is nothing, you feel guilty, don't you? Sometimes we won't even say that. What are you doing? You're thinking, I'm not doing anything, but I'm not saying it. Because there's something outside about you should always be doing something. Isn't that the kind of society we live in? You feel guilty if you say, I'm not doing anything. In fact, yeah, I know people who brag about how little sleep they have. Well, I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. Like, you know, that's something to be proud of in some way or another. They just have so much to do. They wear it like a merit badge. The Word of God says we're to rest. We're to take care of our bodies by resting them. That's the whole idea behind the Sabbath. We call it the Sabbath what? Rest. Rest. In Mark chapter 6, you want to get very practical about it. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 32, there's a story about the disciples had been sent out by Jesus on a mission. And they came back in from that mission. And it says in Mark 6, 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now, in all of those areas, in each of these, our appetites, exercise, and rest, self-control is necessary. You got to be able to control yourself. And let me tell you, did you know God's already provided for that? The help of self-control is already within you. You know who it is? It's in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, as we've already seen. For 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the Holy Spirit who lives in you is a spirit of self-discipline. He's a spirit of self-control. So it's not something you got to muster up on your thing. I just don't have much self-control. I'll tell you, you got all you need if you're a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He's a spirit of self-control. And so it's not a matter of you mustering up. It's a matter of you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to give you that self-control and that self-discipline. He will enable you to persevere in your attempts to be healthier. Now, the bad news is this. There are no quick schemes for good health. Found that out? We live in a world that wants everything quick, right? Take a pill, lose weight. There are no quick schemes for good health. I heard about a guy the other day who ruined a whole batch of brownies because he left them in the oven too long. And he went around bragging about how he had burned 2,000 calories without even going to the gym. People are always looking for a way to get healthy without going to the gym. Always looking for a way to lose weight without diet discipline. This doesn't happen. You have to have self-control, and you got to persevere in that self-control over the long haul. And again, the Holy Spirit within you will help you to do that. And through it all, I want to say it again, let your perseverance be motivated by your purpose. Your purpose is not just to be healthy, not just to be, your purpose is, I want to glorify and honor and serve God. That'll help you to persevere. The magazine called The Week runs a column regularly called What's Next? And in that column, that column is a regular recurring contest they have based on the weekly events. Now, in a 2013 issue, they asked readers to submit answers to the following question. They quoted TV chef Anthony Bourdain. They quoted him. He had recently advised. He said this, listen carefully. Your body is not a temple, he said. Now, that contradicts the Word of God. Just notice that. Your body is not a temple. It's an amusement park. Enjoy the ride. So they quoted that, and then they said, what would be a good name for a theme park ride based on the typical American body? What would be some good names for amusement park rides based on human body? Well, they printed the best of the answers. One suggested Sedentary Mountain. Somebody else suggested Cholesterol Roll. I really like this. Somebody else said Plumper Cars or Tunnel of Love Handles. the tragic kingdom, the expanding universe. But the one that really caught my attention relates to today. Well, somebody says, and not a name for a ride, but a sign that might be posted by a ride that said this. Here it is. Sorry, closed due to poor maintenance. Now, your body is not an amusement park. It is a temple. You don't want it to be closed due to poor maintenance. You can't be useful as God wants you to be. You can't be as useful for as long as God intends. You cannot bring the glory to God you were designed to bring. So you see, pursue physical health for His sake. For His sake.
That concludes today's message. Thanks for listening to the First Baptist Church of Ponder podcast. If you have any questions about First Baptist Church or want to know more about Jesus Christ, contact us at www.fbcponder.org.